What? Okay, bye. I love you.
Sorry.
Okay, good night.
What's going on, all you shaggy goose egg boys?
No, this man hangs up on his wife, not by saying I love you or anything. He goes,
sad.
No, it was a kiss that he was giving her, but because he was around us, he tried to minimize it. But it was like you tried to kiss, but you missed, and you're like, God.
All right.
What are we watching today?
Well, we already watched it.
Oh, yeah.
This is a recommendation from Kyle. Looney Tunes back in action.
Baby. Hey,
I got a lot of nostalgia for this movie.
Yeah, me too.
Excuse me. I have a lot of nostalgia for this game.
I didn't play the game. The movie
was bad.
I disagree.
I disagree.
Hey, yeah. Well, maybe I was watching it at my parents' house, and my mom is a fan of the podcast, and the rest of my family listens to it sometimes too, but I was watching it with my family,
mm-hmm.
and they kept saying things. And my mom especially, love you, Mom. Oh, she's supposed to be on this episode. Well, she's not going to be awake. Hey. She kept saying stuff, and I was like, yeah, we can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. It's okay. You had some good insight. I forgot what it was, though. Love you.
Yeah, that was really interesting commentary, Jake, and I loved hearing the vagueness of your statements there.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I didn't bring my note journal with mm-hmm. me. So I did it in another one, and then I cut out the page and pasted it onto my note journal. You can't see it. I taped it in. That's but it's funny. There.
Yeah, I just write it on my phone, and then, you know.
And Chris didn't finish the movie.
I did.
He made a joke about it, but we're not sure.
No. I finished the movie. I watched it, like, 4 or 5 hours ago. Which, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm very tired.
Hey, can I have a piece of pizza? Me too.
Yeah, No,
we have pizza.
I tried watching it like since Friday.
And yeah, why are you talking away from the mic?
Every time I try to watch it, I just kept falling asleep. Mm,
sweet Thai chili sauce.
I like how you're putting the sauce on this pizza.
I've been working like a minimum
in
of
your
eight
fucking
hours
hand
for the past few days. No, I don't want that.
It's good.
Okay.
No,
I'll just put it on the first.
I like how you put the sauce over your paper notes.
Okay.
That's okay.
What is your bag?
Stop.
It's pretty good.
God.
What?
Oh yeah, we're recording this late. That's why.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of tired.
I just got off work.
Yeah. Chris just got off.
Yeah. I would say
vacation.
Claire, but she. Oh.
Oh.
But she's in Knoxville.
No, I've been.
So, I rented this on YouTube, and it said published 2011. So I was really worried that I watched the wrong movie.
Oh yeah. That's probably when they put it on.
But yeah, like, but it was the right one. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I played the game a lot when I was younger on the GameCube. And it was one of those where I didn't have a memory card. So I would rent it from the library.
Yeah.
But I would never, my progress would never be saved. And I also wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I have a similar story with Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I rented that from like a movie rental area.
Bionicle, the game? That was...
Yeah. I wound up having to keep my PlayStation 2 on overnight, which was kind of rough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I grew up watching this movie a lot, and I really liked watching it, because this is the first time I've seen it since I was a child.
Yeah.
And I don't know when the last time that was. I venture to say, like, 2006 or 7. And it was interesting to me how well the comedy held up because, like, yeah, there were kid jokes in it, but there was a lot of stuff that I found genuinely, like, funny.
See, I'm chewing bread.
Yeah, it's real.
This
is really interesting for our audio listeners.
Well,
I'm just letting you guys stop for time while I read the Wikipedia summary of this
movie. See, like, I got one job, and it's to read Wikipedia.
I did not think it was that funny.
See,
I thought it was poorly acted by Brendan Fraser, but I thought it was very, very clever.
The acting wasn't the greatest, but I think that that was kind of done intentionally.
I think it was supposed to be over the top.
No.
On purpose.
Steve Martin, hats off to him.
You see the...
With this role.
Yeah, he was the bad
because
guy.
Still looking at his face
right now, you don't recognize him.
I cannot picture that.
I disagree. He creeped me out as a kid, and I used to not like him at all. And, like, I think it's, like, really over the top, like, his performance in there.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of, like, the whole point, because it's a celebration of, like, essentially Warner Brothers properties, you know? And, yeah, it was made for kids, obviously.
Oh, wow.
The funniest joke that I heard in the movie was the one where it was Porky Pig and Speedy Gonzalez in the restaurant. And then they were like, and he was going, oh, they told me that I got to stop stuttering because that's not PC. And then Speedy Gonzalez says, how do you think I feel? And then it immediately goes, like, within two lines, it goes to Bugs Bunny and drag. I forget the woman's name, but the VP, she was like, yeah, you got to stop doing that. I was like, but then he goes, lady, if you don't think a male rabbit wearing women's clothes is funny, then you don't know comedy. And I'm laughing my ass off. I was like, this was made less than 20 years ago. It's wild.
I also love how, like, the original animated Shaggy is getting onto Matthew Lillard.
Yeah. And you go, that won't even sound like that.
All right. No, this movie was a gem. Also, I'm finding out on Wikipedia.
Well, it is the Blue Monkey is a gem. That's what it is, right? The Blue Monkey?
It's not a
this
gem.
This movie flopped in the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't like it that much. So.
I think especially the art museum scene where Bugs and Daffy's chasing Elmer around in the paintings, that is like, yeah... That's one of the best scenes. Like, the animators
really, because they draw them in, like, the different art art styles and stuff.
Well, even when they're transitioning, they go through the wall.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and it's really impressive how it was done in 2003, because there's not a lot of scenes that stand out to me as poor use of digital effects.
No.
And, like, granted, like, it's clearly hand-drawn over the film. Like it was in Space Jam, and like it should be in Space Jam 2, Electric Boogaloo. I already don't
like that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can't get on board. And it's to me, it's like I don't like seeing those characters as 3D models. I don't think it translates.
I haven't seen Space Jam.
I have an extra copy.
It's been a
while. I accidentally bought a copy of Space Jam on Blu-ray for $7.50, and I got home and realized I already owned Space Jam on Blu-ray, and I said, shit. So I have an extra copy if you want to have it.
Yeah,
it was like $7 and I forgot that I had had it.
Hey man, if you're giving it out like you're giving out books, then I'll take it.
Did I give out books?
Maps of Meaning.
I really don't want
to. Oh, that's this, true. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, but that was also a similar
thing. No, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, Chris. I mean, it's definitely dope.
No, I don't want to do this.
It's too bad.
That's okay. I did it. I'm just scared.
Why are you scared?
I don't know. I like this movie, and I remember what happened in it. It's not like a...
Just speak from the heart, Chris.
That's what I did for Tenacious D.
You don't have to capture the movie in every scene. Just kind of give the rundown.
Yeah, that's what Thomas said. He just... not to compare you to Thomas.
I could explain
not to
this
compare you to
within
the man,
1 minute.
The myth, the legend.
I could explain this in 1 minute.
Well, no. I mean, I want you to, you know.
Yeah.
So if you want to do it for me, if you want to, you know, do it just... You know, don't be nervous.
I thought I was gonna burp.
Because you know what, Chris?
But
whatever you, however you do it, that's how you're gonna do it, and I want you to do it that way because that's how you're gonna do it.
Thank you.
That's true.
Kyle's making a snap.
Hey.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey. Fuck you, Michelle.
Oh, my sister? Okay.
Hey, tell Lizzie I said hi.
I hope that keeps in the podcast. What we should do is upload this to YouTube, but have this video that I just recorded as the only video element.
And it loops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it starts when it... Okay.
Looney Tunes back in action.
Oh, we're doing the recap now.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't telling you.
Okay.
I was telling the people.
Okay.
Chris?
Hey!
Yeah?
Don't do that.
Let's restart this start.
No, just keep going. What are you doing?
He's holding my knee. His hand is still on my knee.
Okay, now that we're all holding each other.
Okay.
Hey, in a triangle, in a circle, whatever shape. You said that in the last podcast.
Do the recap.
He was
sorry. We're a little rusty. We haven't recorded anything in like 2 weeks.
I am very tired too.
Hi, very tired. I'm Kyle.
Do the recap.
Your screen's going dark.
Jesus Christ.
All right. All right.
Do the recap. Okay, recap time.
Looney Tunes back in action. Action. Looney Tunes
action. Action. What are you, like, Finnish? You're speaking Asian. You're like the Swedish chef.
Act Bay in Action A.
Okay.
Looney Tunes back in action. Take it away.
Starts out with the very classic scene of the rabbit season, duck season, very, very classic and all of that. If you're a Looney Tunes fan, it turns out that this is actually in a script that Daffy Duck is reading. It's a script for a Bugs Bunny movie. And Daffy is like, I'm tired of doing this whole routine where I'm just the butt of the joke. And Bugs Bunny is the star of the show. You know what? We don't even need Bugs Bunny. It's like, well, you can't have Bugs Bunny. You can't not have Bugs Bunny in a Bugs Bunny movie. And then this woman, Kate, who will be one of the main characters, she's like, hey, I'm vice president of comedy, and I say that statistics show that you're not as funny as Bugs. And the Warner Brothers twins are like, hey, you're fired, Daphne, because you're fired.
Wrong movie.
You're fired, Daffy, because we trust this Fred. Blonde lady. And so he's fired. And then
it takes a break to read Wikipedia.
And then this is when we get a security guard who's like an aspiring stuntman.
Yeah.
His name is DJ. He has to escort Daffy out of the building. And
oh my god. You were reading it while we were talking earlier.
No, I'm scared. All right.
Scared of.
Okay.
Hey, is there more pizza?
I'll get the pizza.
I'm a fat fuck.
Okay.
Right now.
So DJ, who is the stuntman, who is Brandon Fraser, escorts Daffy out of the place. Daffy rebels a little bit, and he's like chasing him around, and he bumps into Kate and Bugs Bunny, and they talk for a bit, and then. Brandon Fraser is like, oh god, I chase Daffy because he's in the Batmobile, and then he gets him, and then the Batmobile goes into the Warner Brothers water tower, and it makes a big mess, and it's like, hey, you're both fired out of Hollywood. And so they go to DJ's house, and there Daffy finds out that his dad is a really, really big actor who plays in spy movies. He's kind of like James Bond, and he's messing with all of this stuff, and Brandon Fraser's trying to get him out of there, and he's like, oh hey, my remote is ringing. He clicks it, he sees a video call from his dad on the TV, and he's beating up a bunch of bad guys, and he's like, dad, are you okay? And he was like, oh well, there's something that I need to tell you, but I can't tell you right now. Blue monkey, go find that in Los Angeles. There's a girl named Dusty Tails who could tell you what I'm talking about. And so he leaves. And so meanwhile Kate is with Bugs Bunny, and she's pitching the new form of the movie to the Warner Brothers, where it's just Bugs Bunny by himself. and Noah Daffy and doing the same classic routine. It doesn't work. And they're like, you're fired because you're vice president of comedy and we're not laughing. And they're like, wait, she's like, I can get Daffy because Bugs is wanting me to get Daffy because he says that, you know, they're the dynamic duo. And he's like, okay, get us Daffy by Monday and you can keep your job. So they go on to find Daffy and they go on to Brendan Fraser's house, and Brendan Fraser and Daffy have already left because they're going to Las Vegas in an old car. And they basically just break into the house and find out that he was like the actor and all, his dad was the big actor and all that, and find out that he probably actually is a spy because they find a really cool spy car with a bunch of spy gadgets. And so they go to Las Vegas. And so now we're at Las Vegas, and Brendan Fraser and Daffy are at a casino where they find Dusty Tails, who is a woman who is doing a little cool casino dance show, and he's like, oh, I could talk to her after the show, or I could just talk to her during the show dressed up as what's his name, Yosemite Sam, because this casino is mm-hmm. themed off of him. And so he dresses up as Yosemite Sam, as all the background dancers are, and he's like, hey, I need to tell you this right now. I'm the son of this guy, and you know him. He's like, oh, yeah, come with me. And so she tells him that his father was a spy, a real spy. And he's looking for the blue monkey, which is a diamond, which has great power. I don't know what that is yet, but hey, he gave me this playing card. It's the Queen of Diamonds. You need it. It's a clue. And so he takes it. And so they leave. And he meets up with Kate and Bugs, and they get in the spy car because now they're being chased by Yosemite Sam, who is working for this evil corporation. I'm kind of backtrack a little bit.
Acme!
Yeah, Acme. This evil corporation called Acme, who Back really, me. Really want the blue monkey Fact for me. Some reason. And they have control of all of the Looney Tunes villains. They're basically their henchmen. And so they send out Yosemite Sam to go kill them and get that card so that they can have the clue to get the blue diamond. It's a really cool chase scene because Yosemite Sam like steals a NASCAR driver's car and they get rid of Yosemite Sam. He blows up, and so they fly off in their spy car, and then they crash into the desert. And so now they're like, oh no, we're in the desert. What are we going to do? Well, we're just going to trek through the desert. And Acme is like, hey, let's send out our desert operative, Wile E. Coyote. And Wile E. Coyote doesn't do anything. He basically just blows himself up. He didn't hinder them at all. And so anyway, what is hindering them is the harsh desert of Nevada. They're very tired. They're very thirsty. And they seem like they're at their wit's end, and they may just die of exhaustion. But lo and behold, they see this beautiful oasis, the oasis to every true-blooded American, Walmart. Yeah. They go into Walmart to hydrate themselves with their delicious Walmart products, with the Walmart discounts and Walmart air conditioning. Walmart. And so they leave Walmart, and they keep trekking. And then he's like, hey, you guys, like, you know, get a car, like, go back to Los Angeles and keep your jobs. This is my thing. I need to find my dad. But the Kate lady, who at the beginning of the movie didn't really seem to like him very much, is like, nah. And so they keep going. And they keep walking, and Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser disappears. It's like, what? And Brendan Fraser reappears, and he's like, hey, there's an invisible like room here, and it's got AC. Come in. So Brendan, they go in. And when they go in, they're immediately apprehended by a bunch of guards, and then Daffy is like disintegrated, and then this scientist lady, whose name is Mother, shows up. And she's like, hey, you're the spy actor's kid, and I know him because we're both spy people. he's like, hey, we'll keep your...
Oh, sorry, we're having our like own like silent conversation.
Yeah, I know. It's real. I'm trying not to let it distract me. I'm on a roll. I was doing good, and you're breaking my
Hey, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they meet Mother. Mother recognizes DJ Brendan Fraser, and he's like, "Hey, you're the spy guy's kid. I work with him because we're both spies." What is this place? Movie. Oh, it's Area 52. Area 51 is just a decoy. This is where we keep all the alien shit that all that the government is hiding from you guys. And he's like, "Oh, that's cool. Can you turn my friend back into a duck?" And they're like, "Yeah. I'll do that while explain all this plot stuff to you." And so, would you shut the fuck up? Both of you, please, for the love of God.
You spit on me.
Thank you.
Wait, are you still in the fucking Walmart?
No! I'm in Area 52!
That's the same thing! It's like, literally, like, 2 minutes apart.
Keep going, Chris.
God damn it.
You're doing a great
You're not
thing.
Even in Paris yet.
Alright, so...
Close his laptop aggressively.
What if it broke?
I was doing good, guys.
You
right.
keep going. Right, you're doing right. good.
All right, all right.
Eat your pizza, Chris.
So anyway, she tells him that, you know, yeah, I worked with your dad. I got this arsenal of spy stuff that he has, and he's
looking at me.
And he's like, "Oh, cool. Do I get to use all the sci-fi spy arsenal that my dad has?" No, you get a phone. It was like, "Oh, what does that do?" Well, it's a phone. Oh.
It's got a grapple.
Would you shut the fuck up? And it has a grappling hook, and it's also a Game Boy. And he's like, "Oh, that's cool. Yeah, also, here's a pair of pants that makes your shit rocket fuel. That's not going to backfire on you in a comedic cartoonish slapstick way." Meanwhile, by the way, I didn't really get to explain this because these goofballs were fucking up.
Hey, yeah, remember last episode you said you weren't gonna cuss?
Sorry. I'm pissed and tired. Well, I'm
tired. Pissed.
In Area 52, as they're gearing them all up, Marvin Martian is held captive there, and he gets a call from Matt Meen, and he's like, "Oh, okay." And so he breaks all the monsters out, and they go after them, and they're like, "Oh no, we need to go to Paris and flee to get away from them." And also, because we found out that the back of the card has the Mona Lisa's face on us, which gives us a clue that the other clue is at the Mona Lisa, which is in Paris. So they go to Paris, and so when they go to Paris, they go to an art museum, and they find out there's a little peely part on the back of the card where if you look through the clear part of the card at the Mona Lisa, it shows you a little map of a place in Africa. And they're like, "Oh, that's where we need to go next. Let's go there." Oh no, there's Marvin the Martian. He's going to do a really awesome animated fight scene with Daffy and Bugs Bunny. And it's really cool. Hats off to the animators for that scene. And so anyway, they get rid of them, they ward them off, and they go over to Africa, and there they find the Temple of the Blue Monkey, and with the help of Granny, and they find her, and they're like, "Hey, how'd you get here? This is kind of suspicious.
Granny from Looney Tunes.
Are you sure that you're not gonna, like, betray us, Granny?" And she's like, "Oh, no, no, no."
Yeah.
Okay, cool, yeah. So they hop on Granny's big elephant.
Yeah.
And they go over to the Temple of the Blue Monkey. And then they find a little monkey in a barrel figurine. And they're like, "Oh, hey, what do we do with this?" And then they find a barrel of all the same monkeys. And they put it in there. And then the Blue Monkey diamond shows up. And so they get it. And they're like, "Oh, yay, we have it." And then Granny is like, "Ha, psych, I'm the evil guy at me, I'll be taking that now." Zap, zap, he zaps them, and then he zaps himself, and then they teleport into the Acme headquarters, and he's like, "Ha ha ha, now I'm going to turn everybody into monkeys." By the way, this is why he was going to turn everyone into monkeys, very important. He's going to turn everyone into monkeys so that they can work for free to make all these knickknacks and stuff, and then he's going to turn them back into humans so that they will mindlessly buy all the stuff. So he's making stuff for free, and getting those same people to buy it from him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we'll get into that later. But anyway, he does that. He turns someone into a monkey or something. I can't remember. Anyway. Marvin takes the blue monkey because it's their plan to
put it on a satellite
and then turn everybody except for the main bad guy into monkeys, and so they fly up to space, and then Daffy turns into Duck Dodgers and then fights off Marvin Martian alongside Bugs Bunny, who has a carrot lightsaber, and it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Brandon Fraser is fighting the other guys, and they win, and then he saves his dad, and he turns the main bad guy into a monkey and cuffs him up, and they're like, oh, the day is saved. And then Bugs and Daffy crash into the place, and they're like, haha, yay, happy ending. Psych, Daffy, this whole thing was a movie, cut, haha. And so it turns out that they've been on a set this whole time, and they were filming the movie that they were talking about at the beginning of the movie. And yeah.
Yeah, that's the movie.
The end.
That's the movie.
It's like Blazing Saddles, but Blazing Saddles
but
is better.
They say less in words.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie all the way
through. I watched it, and I was, like, shocked.
I didn't know how that, many. Really? Well,
yeah.
Was it a Gene Wilder movie?
Yeah, it was. If I'm not mistaken,
more like Genius
was,
Wilder, am I right, guys?
It was Mel
Hodges.
Mel Brooks' first movie, or Mel Brooks. I think it's Brooks, yeah.
It's Brooks.
Yeah. I think that was, like, his first big movie or something.
Hey, so, which...
what is it about?
What's this movie about?
Consumerism.
Hey, that recap was pretty good, huh?
So I think it was about
Chris is leaving because of that.
I think it was about courage.
Yeah, hey, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was about a lot of things. I think consumerism is the most
important. I think Hollywood,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I agree with Chris on that one. Hey, this is gonna be a bad episode.
My favorite thing about Hollywood movies is that how like anti-consumerism they are, and then they sell you the movie.
Yeah,
dude, talk about genius though.
Well, no, it shows that they're fucking stupid.
Who?
Hollywood.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what this is why I said
a bunch of hypocrites.
So I said Blazing Saddles because number one, it's they end on a movie set, but also that's what. Blazing Saddles is about as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is Hollywood's dumb? You hear that? Hollywood, I'm coming for you.
The government totally sucks.
You know who said that? Thanos said that.
Government totally sucks.
Tenacious
fact check
D.
Me.
Let's
no,
go
that
back
was
to
last
that
week.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
You said it wasn't at the end.
No, I think. I mean, I went. I listened to it back, and I was like, yeah, you know, I liked it.
I think there's a bit of like the shadow. You know, that you're living in or whatever. Because DJ is Damien's son, and Damien's awesome.
So
DJ isn't, but then he is, and it's like, what the heck?
Yeah, but it's the same thing with Bugs and Daffy. Because I actually think this is Daffy's movie, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I said it's about
for
courage.
Sure.
But specifically, I wanted to highlight like what you were saying about the living in the shadow. It's almost specifically between... Daffy and Bugs, the story of Cain and Abel, in a sense, is that so that story is essentially about the arbitrariness of life, right? Because God likes Abel's sacrifices more than Cain's, and it's not really ever told why that is, and no one ever questions that, which I find is odd. Like, why does God like one guy's sacrifice more? It's like, is it something Cain's doing? Is it just the arbitrary element of life, right? Because life, in a sense, these things that happen to you can be arbitrary in some instances, if not a lot. Things just happen, right? And it's really if Cain had been, let's say, a good person, then he wouldn't have killed his brother because of this arbitrary dissatisfaction that life seems to have with Cain, right? And the first thing you would say to somebody like that is, who put you at the center of the earth, you know? Like, things happen that's bad. Just because something bad happens to you doesn't mean the universe hates you. You think the universe cares about you? You're one person. Get over yourself. Anyways, where was I going with that? I'm so tired.
Do you need a hug?
No, I don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I see that as a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't think...
I'll give you a hug, Chris.
Like, I don't think placing yourself at the center of the universe is a good... idea. That's why, like, when bad things happen.
Well, that's why, you know, Copernicus was like,
"Yeah, that's funny." Well, that's why, like, when bad things happen, you can at least take solace in the fact that the universe is not targeting you specifically.
Solace, because that sounds like Solus and Copernicus was.
Oh, interesting.
That was.
Yeah,
I think that's interesting.
That was
planned. My brain don't understand words. Language.
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 Walkie-talkie.
Walkie-talkie. Hey, but it is interesting though.
At least, like, the second podcast in a row where you said that.
Yeah.
Did I interrupt you?
But that's.
I was gonna let you finish.
Nice. But yeah, no. Essentially, like that's what's happening with Bugs and Daffy is that. Daffy is not liked as well as Bugs is, and it, you know, you could say that it's partially due to Daffy's attitude and maybe even his work ethic, but at the end of the day, like, you know, he's still a comedy cartoon character. People just like Bugs more.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the cartoons. I mean, they've had separate cartoons before where they don't appear in each other's, and everyone just likes the Bugs cartoons more, and it's like, no one knows why, it just is, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's an interesting premise, at least for starting like a movie. So I was saying, and then the fact that that's coupled with the live action characters having similar things between the father and son.
I think it is interesting that Daffy, I think it's interesting that Daffy and DJ are paired together because they're kind of in the same spot, at least within the movie, because apparently there's Brent and Fraser playing DJ, but how we see it even at the end of the movie that there is a Brent and Fraser, and like he meets him at the end.
Yeah,
which the is actor. Hilarious. Here's the thing.
I thought you said this movie wasn't funny.
Throughout the entirety of the movie, Daffy and Bugs are fighting each other, and they're voiced by the same character.
Yep.
And Bugs? Daffy and Bugs are voiced by the same person. They have been for... Well, yeah, since
they weren't in this movie.
Since Looney Tunes.
Yeah, no, I looked it up. It's not
really.
Yeah, so Mel Blanc originally voiced all the Looney Tunes characters, but in this movie, it's different people.
But the premise still stands. The precedent stands.
Yeah.
I was gonna say something, but I forgot what I was gonna say.
Yeah, just like.
But they were living in the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
But then they both have the potential, and it is Daffy and Bridge in favor that end up saving the day.
And so that's why I say it's a lot about courage, because I was looking at Chris's screen, because again, it's Daffy who saves the day, right? And the reason I say that is because Daffy is the only one who doesn't know that he's in a movie. He's the only character that doesn't know that, right? Or at least that's what we're led to believe, right? And Daffy, at the very end, when he's going to go fight Martian Manhunter, he was like, yo, you know, I might die. He's like, I don't want to go out there. And yet he does it anyways, right? He gains the courage to do that. And that's wild.
So he...
Was it the same person?
He did. Yeah, he did voice.
I looked it up earlier. I could have sworn that it said... Hold on.
It'll just say Bugs Bunny, and then it'll do dot, 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 and cut it off. But Joe Lasky was the guy who succeeded Mel Blanc, and he played both characters until he died, which was 2016 or 18.
I'll be honest. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, I was reading a different person.
Fact check.
All right. Well, yeah. So that I get that stands then. But
well, yeah. I was just saying, in that respect, it's interesting that they paired him with Brendan Fraser and decided to do that whole bit with him meeting himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, so, yeah, like I was saying, Daffy's the only one who doesn't know that he's in a movie, and yet he risks his life anyways, right? Bugs is not a hero, even though he's made out to be.
Does DJ know he's in a movie?
No. Well, yes. Yeah, everybody does, because everyone...
Except Daffy.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, when Bugs goes out to save the day, he's in no real danger. And you can see that in his actions, too. Like, he's clearly not worried about anything at all.
He says, hey, what's that, Doc?
Yeah. And Daffy is the one who has to put on the courage. And one thing that I wrote down is that sometimes when things are not going well, it's not the world that's the cause. The cause is instead which is currently valued subjectively and personally. right? And I think Daffy's biggest issue is that, well, his priorities are not in line with what reality demands of him, right? Mm-hmm. What he needs is, he's like, oh man, I want to be as good as Bugs. And then, you know, by the end of the movie, he's, you know, do that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do it for the reasons of ratings. He does it to save Bugs' life or everybody else's, right? It does it for a noble cause.
Around the whole movie, he's like, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah.
He's always, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly.
In the beginning of the movie, when he's getting escorted out, he says, I'm allowed to steal. I'm a celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that talks about that. Mm-hmm. Also Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, all the fourth wall breaks speak to consumerism. The whole thing about Walmart,
yeah. And, well, one of my favorite fourth wall breaks is the VP lady when they drop into the desert and it's like the next day.
I want to say this.
Okay.
She says, after this comedy, I promised I would make real movies about the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
Crammed with social relevance.
Yeah. Which I thought was funny because she was saying it in an exasperated tone, which is like, it sounds like something that like an actor or actress would say, like when they're frustrated on set. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I'm just cashing in for this movie, you know,
which I think
to me is hilarious.
And I think what's more interesting is that this is a real movie crammed with social relevance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of that. Yeah. Because of its self-awareness.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And Daffy's like, I'm a duck, motherfuck.
Yeah.
Did you think that was funny?
Yeah, I did.
I'm a duck, motherfuck.
I'm a duck, motherfuck.
No, yeah, it's not motherfuck. It's, I'm a duck, motherfuck. What the fuck else I'm supposed to do?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hey.
No, that's
you know,
funny.
You know.
But, yeah, I just, because I think it's a...
what are you doing?
I think it's true of all individuals that, like, it's the soul that craves this like eternal, what do you want to say, call to being, right? I don't think you have a crust laying here on the table and you grabbed another piece of pizza.
Oh, I like the crust.
You don't like the crust?
Hey, I'm a fat duck motherfucker. I'll eat the crust.
That's true. He is a duck.
I'm sorry, I have sinned.
You know, I wasn't gonna eat anything, and then you brought the pizza, and now I feel fat.
Yeah, well, I ate right before this because I didn't know you were getting pizza.
He says as he puts hot sauce on the crust.
It's like, sweet Thai chili sauce.
I was gonna say it's Thai sauce, so it just makes you look formal.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't buy junk food because I'll eat it.
Mm-hmm. See, why do you buy it? No, he doesn't. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I was just being stupid.
Yeah.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Yeah. Take that. Hey, did you just fart? Gross. Okay. Well, I forgot what I was talking about, but...
There's also a line, I forgot where this is, where somebody says, was this your idea? ... The audience expects it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's Walmart.
It was the Walmart mm-hmm. part, yeah. And he looks directly at the camera, too.
Yeah.
For a second.
Yeah. No,
oh, because they were talking about the script.
Yes. Dumbass. Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. And that goes kind of with what Chris is talking about, the consumerism aspect. So let's break that down. All right. So the bad guy's plan.
Who's laughing now? No one. That's what the bad guy says. Because I don't think he was funny.
Yeah, I think he was over the top.
And I was not laughing.
No, again, as a child, he scared me. Like the, like going like over like that. I was like,
Is that good?
You know what it reminds me of, especially on this? The pizza sauce that you get in the Lunchables pizzas.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, like. Yeah.
You mean, okay, the Lunchable pizzas. Okay, so I had Lunchables every single day for lunch the entirety of high school because I brought my own.
That
lunch,
is why.
And that's
you're
what my
skinny
mom,
fat.
Yeah. Well, again, it wasn't by choice. That's what my mom got us for lunch mm-hmm. for 4 years, and no one ever contested it because
so she doesn't just hate Michelle, she hates you too.
No, yeah, my whole family hates me. Yeah, like they don't like me, and I don't blame them. Because
I like you, Kyle.
If you just put this on this pizza, it just tastes exactly like the Lunchables pizza. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, no, the point that I was going to make is that the pizza Lunchables I never got because I hate them. Because the crust for that is like the damn communion, like, wafer thing.
Hey, like, I like those.
Yeah.
The communion wafers? No one likes them.
I don't either. But no, I do like the unleavened bread.
Oh, yeah. No, that's pretty good.
Bro, like, I can pack that shit away.
Yeah. Dude, so I can eat the whole body of Christ. Don't.
I'm sorry, Jeebus. Please forgive me.
Yeah, you need to do, like, 4 Hail Marys. Dude, I wish I had been Catholic. Because, like, they do the communion wine. And I bet some of that's pretty good.
We did the communion wine.
No, we always did grape juice. And it's not the same, man.
It's funny we're talking about this because right before I came here, me and Deshaun...
you did mass.
No. Deshaun and I found this really obscure Adult Swim show on HBO Max called Moral Oral.
I thought you were going to say Rick and Morty.
No. It's called Moral Oral.
Rick and Morty.
Watch that show. Watch one episode. And
Moral Oral?
Yes. It's about... I don't know if I should get in on this.
Go ahead.
But no. It's really interesting. It's about this kid who lives in a really, really conservative, like, religious town. And he, like, hears all these teachings of the Bible, mm-hmm. but they're fundamentalists. So it's like, God doesn't like you to waste your gift of life. And he's like, if you waste your gift of life, then God hates you and you're going to hell. And so he goes to a cemetery and he's like, oh, these people are wasting their gift. So he digs them up and brings them back to life. But it's like, it goes extreme.
But... I hope there's some context that I'm missing there because that does not track like that line of reasoning.
Yeah. Well, hey, you need to watch it. You need to watch it. We watched like 5 episodes. It's fucked up, but yeah. It's really interesting. So anyway.
Okay.
Sorry.
My what always kills me is the fact that like it's like every screenwriter's greatest fear is a fundamentalist Christian household. They're like, because, like, you know, like, every bad family life that you're living is either, like, abusive parents or they're fundamentalist Christians. Like, in movies.
Is there a difference?
There is, well, I would say physical beating, maybe. But you could make a case for that. But that always kills me because it's really funny because it's, like, that's everybody's greatest fear. They're like, oh, my God. Like, you know, these people, you know.
Trying to avoid religious, like. Meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, again, because it's like no one wants to have like a religious household that's like just a normal people who are like, oh, I believe what I believe and then I'm gonna let you live. Because if you do that, then there's no backstory for your character to do anything because then they're just a normal person. So I just always think that's funny. Dude, are you gonna eat the crust now? Go for it. Why did you deep throat it? He put half the crust in his mouth and then brought it back out.
What? Yeah, so somebody else says something. I forget who it was, but they say, I think when you go to the movies, you should learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that?
I cannot remember who said that, but yeah, that does sound familiar.
I don't know. Oh, man.
Oh, I remember what I was
going to say. Warner Brothers.
Okay. I remember what I was going to say earlier, right?
About what?
I can't remember what it was in reference to. It was probably just in reference to... I've scrolled past that on HBO.
It's honestly good.
For those of you who can't see...
yeah, just look it up.
No, for those of you who can't see, Chris is looking up.
For those of you who can't see, we're sorry. You ever seen Daredevil? You could probably do that.
Hey, that's the movie I want to make, so.
Yeah, the movie version?
Yeah. No. The blind people movie.
Oh, that's, yeah. Jake wants to make a podcast. That's
no,
a movie.
No, no.
He said he wants to make a movie with no visuals, and I told him that's a podcast.
No.
And he can't convince me otherwise.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see when I do it.
You can just get those. I won't be able to. But you get those, like, the microphone that's got the two ears on the side, and then you just walk through the street, and then that's your movie. Like, and that's a podcast.
Yeah, whoever said, you go to Le Merle some with movies.
What did you say?
I don't know.
Did you just have a stroke? Do you smell toast?
All right, so I'm going to call it right now.
This should definitely be a video episode.
This is the worst episode we have ever done.
Hey, you got to have one.
What a wonderful kind of day. So,
what a wonderful...
But, I mean, the consumerism aspect. Let's get back up.
The fuck is this movie about, guys?
We've already said this like three times. Okay, so let's talk about... Let's talk about the consumerist aspect of this. Okay, what do we think about this? The bad guy's plan is to turn people into monkeys so they can make a bunch of stuff for, you know, no cost. And then to turn them back into humans so that they can buy the stuff that they have already made. What do you think about that?
That's capitalism, baby.
Yeah.
Is it?
I mean, I think if you were to, like, super surrealize this... then I think you could make an extended metaphor of it being, yeah, because, I mean, what do? We create things, we sell them, so that we can make money to buy things that other people have made. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is, you know, just this cycle of, like, and it's based on, you know, what people value. So we don't live in the 1800s or whatever anymore. So it's not like, you know, I'm not working so that I could, I'm not, you know, tending the field. I'm not growing corn so I can buy broccoli, you know.
Well,
I'm,
I mean,
I'm you, making a podcast so I can buy a new car.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, no. I mean, certainly because you know, back in the day, the free markets
back in the day.
Essentially were that you created everything that you needed to live, and any of your excess is what you sold, right? And it wasn't until the Industrial Revolution, which, keep in mind, in human history, that was like yesterday. The Industrial Revolution, all right? Human history spans like tens of thousands of years. Well, I would say at least a solid 10,000 years of civilization, right? And then tens of thousands of years of just people, you know, Homo sapiens being running people, around, right? And it's kind of crazy because it's like literally yesterday we just were able to produce things en masse in a way that we did not have to manually work for everything in which we need to live.
No, keep talking.
I was just going to say, it's interesting that that is where today is now.
That sounds a little poopy.
Mm-hmm. He's like, he goes, yeah, I stuck it in my butt.
That's not sweet Thai chili sauce.
That's my chili sauce.
Yeah, it is a little poopy.
I don't know why you're handing it to me. I don't want to smell it. Get that out.
It's oddly a little poopy.
Well, it's Thai sauce, you know. It's like after you
it does
you
have a poop. Perfect nozzle.
What were you talking about?
I was talking about I guess systems of economics. I suppose, but. Anyways,
system of a down.
It's just it's within relative recent human history that we have been able to produce things that we do not need to survive in an abundant manner, to which we do not have to physically produce the things in which we need to survive.
Which is such a weird concept.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like, no, it is. Yeah.
The Bible says in Luke 55, it says, do not buy what is not bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm broke as fuck. You know why? Because I buy shit I don't need.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I didn't need that. Why'd I buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also that to me seems like it's more of an emphasis on, because again, you weren't buying things that you couldn't make yourself.
Right.
And so that's more of an emphasis on keep at, you know, do your job. You know, don't waste your time on, you know, excesses.
Which, why watch movies then?
Well, I mean, you could. Well, movies today are what stories were back then.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with like telling stories.
Yeah, but why buy like a, you know, why do I have four different copies of all the Star Wars movies?
Well, that's on you. I don't.
Well, see, now that's the consumerism side of Hollywood. It's not really focusing on telling a story. It's focusing on what people would buy and react to more.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is the opening scene of this movie.
But why? And I can tell you why I, like, because it's my, I feel like if I can preserve pieces of history, then that's what I should do. But
yeah,
why?
I mean,
it exists, so why do
yeah,
I?
Yeah, but you're not the only person. That's not, like, the popular motive.
Or like the idea of like fashion, like and I just watched this Cruella a while back, like fashion, like high fashion people, like the big names will say, hey, this is in, basically, and because they're like, this is in, everybody buys it. Mm-hmm. And it's this downward spiral where it's like the big people say it's in, so the lesser people buy it, and then because everybody's buying it, it becomes in, now everybody buys it as a status symbol. Even if it's not like fashionable, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Capitalism.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. It's because the way that free markets are decided is based on what you're willing to pay, right? Because you as someone who is selling a product wants to sell it at the highest amount possible, right? I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, right?
Yeah.
If I'm trying to sell my phone, I want to sell it for as much money as I can get for it. If I could sell it for $1 billion, I would sell it for that. But where your line meets the other person's line is what amount that they're willing to pay, right? And you barter on that, you haggle on that essentially around, and then when you find a set price, that's the price of it. This phone doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything unless someone's willing to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the free markets are based on.
Which is crazy, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no objective value to anything. Or anything physical. There's no objective monetary value to anything physical. It's just what people place on that object.
Like this dollar right here?
Yeah.
Is worth nothing.
Yeah.
But because I'm like, oh, that's a dollar. It's a dollar. Isn't that whack?
Yeah, no, it's just a piece of paper. I honestly, I had like an existential like nightmare like a few years back where I just realized, I was like, the entirety of the world's economy could be collapsed by people realizing that these things are paper and that it's based on rocks that yeah. are shiny. And it's like, I honestly got like scared. I was like, oh my God. I was like, If enough people realize this, I was like, there's no more money in the world. Like everything
well,
collapses.
Think about like now we are transitioning like to the idea of like just credit.
Yeah. Debit. Well, yeah.
Basically
like
nobody has any real money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this like bottle
well,
caps in like
well,
Fallout.
I would even say that that's been true for, I don't think there's a person alive who's actually had to rely on a system of real money. Because we used to be on the gold standard, but we're not on gold standard anymore.
Right.
Right. And like the dollar bills are just representations of value of what am I thinking of? The value of money. Items that are scarcity. Right.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because it's like, okay, what does that mean? And no one can really tell you. Just like it's worth what it's worth. That's why the value of the dollar is not always a dollar. It changes, right? The value of this, you know, when you do like currency converters, right? You know, you do like a US dollar to a European dollar is worth like, you know, like $1.40 or something. You know, it's like because things are different depending on the scarcity of whatever
it's
valued
all just
against.
Relative. Like it's
yeah,
fake. It's not.
Yeah, it's crazy. So going
just like Daffy Duck isn't real.
You mean like his character or like
the being?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He only exists in our mind.
Yeah,
and on the screen.
Well,
if you take him off,
so does every actor.
Well, every character.
Yeah, yeah, but also
an actor is still a person. Like Margot Robbie is still Margot Robbie. But
yeah, but still, I mean, I feel like the public's view of an actor is not necessarily a representation of who.
Unless you're Adam Sandler.
Person.
Yeah. No, I
It's like they're selling. Most actors who fall out of Hollywood, who leave Hollywood, is because Hollywood was basically selling them. They were selling the idea of Macaulay Culkin at the time. And
which is crazy because he's not a good actor.
Macaulay Culkin is like, no, I want to be Macaulay Culkin. And it was like, well, you can be, just as long as you're the Macaulay Culkin that we need you to be.
Subway.
Wait, Subway. That everybody wants you to be.
No.
Oh, I don't know why I specifically said him. Yeah. It's just like thinking about Hannah Montana or whatever. Miley Cyrus, she did.
That's what I meant.
She's still active.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, so I
Jeanette McCurdy would be a good recent example.
Yeah.
But anyway, continue.
No, I think that's all really interesting. And so rounding back to
the movie?
Yeah, to the movie, right? What do you think about the...
No, it was, but we're...
What do you think about the clear commentary that the movie's trying to set about people essentially being monkeys who make stuff and then go right back and buy that stuff? What do you think about that? And specifically, if you think that that is accurate, why do you think that you are participating in that system?
I can tell you right now. We live in a society.
All right. Don't shoot me.
Well, I mean, it's
because this is it's a tricky question.
How brainwashed we are. Like, we are aware that we are being played with, but it's like, it's almost
like we can't
like,
help it.
It's almost like we found out too late that we have a drug addiction, I guess.
Mm. And now we're at the point where it's like,
yeah, we know it's
I can't
a problem,
exist without it,
but we can't. This has always been my life.
No, and it's an addiction, and The Social Dilemma is a documentary, fantastic documentary, talks all about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like primary one of the huge things they say is like YouTube, like recommendations. Like, don't use recommended because you're playing into the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like oh, but I want to watch that. It's mm-hmm. I want to watch that. It's on my recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it sucks, and it.
Yeah,
I might not be able to sleep tonight because of this, but it really is. It's just like we are stuck in this like cycle of just buying and shitting and eating and buying over and over and over again until we die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is why going off the grid is so powerful, because you do become completely self-reliant. You do end up existing outside of this society, self-sustaining. But to bring it back to what you were saying, the idea of courage is, are we willing to let go of the things that we have now? And, you know, we can talk about infinitude, and like the idea that we're all going to die one day and nothing that we have is going to go with us.
Mm.
So what's the point of...
Unless you're Egyptian.
Yes, unless you're Egyptian. So what's the point of having anything like this?
Yeah.
Well, there isn't, except to enjoy the pleasures that life gives us in the moment. But at the same time, it's like, well, why...
Yeah, well, so I would say that I'm gonna try to address specific parts, because I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna try to address certain parts of it and see if we can get to the real root of why this is a cultural, let's say, issue. So, okay, I gotta break this apart for a second in my head. Okay,
my brain.
So. Why is it that everyone is aware of this and still participates? You said it's a cycle. You break cycles. How?
Here, I'll do Thanos for you.
Mm.
I'm the only one that knows it. The strongest decisions require the strongest of wills.
Yeah, but see, you're not the only one. Okay, if last year has taught us anything, is that everybody is acutely aware of the fact that they are living in a consumerist society.
Who is everyone? Are you exaggerating, or do you mean everyone? Because I disagree with everyone.
Okay, well, yes, obviously not everyone.
Okay. I would say most people are not.
I would say people who didn't before have now.
I would still disagree with that.
Everyone who thinks. It's hard to say everyone, because that's obviously all-encompassing. What I would say is people who are millennial or younger generations are acutely aware that they are living in a consumer society.
I would still disagree with that.
No, yeah. I fully think that is accurate. And I think you would be hard pressed to find just even specific examples that
So I would disagree. And maybe this is just, I'm a victim of my environment. I disagree. Number one, because of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, because of where I work. I see people come in all the time who they're mouth breathers. Like today,
yeah.
I'm sitting here checking someone out and they're just like looking at their phone, like putting their card in the machine, just keep looking at the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I'm waiting on them to press buttons. And if they looked up from their phone for like a split second, they would see that I needed them to do something, but they're not. They're just,
yeah. So I don't think that undercuts my argument, because being aware of something and being aware of how that affects you is different.
Okay, but I feel like if you were aware, then you would.
No. Okay. So let's go back to the drug user analogy. Then you can be aware, be like, dude, I am I'm on drugs and I have an addiction to this, and you cannot be aware of how that affects other people. In fact, that's part of the addiction, is that you specifically block out the negative issues of that.
A lot of times they're aware of all of the consequences of it and why they're that way and what they need to do to be that. But because they've been in this cycle for so long, it's so hard for them to break it on their own.
Yeah. And that goes back to the courage aspect, yeah, because again,
it
look,
takes
you,
the willpower.
Being courageous is confronting the terrible potential of the unknown with truth and the ability to pursue order.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going into the unknown with your known experience and creating that harmony. It's one foot in the known, one foot in the unknown. And it's doing that without the promise that you will succeed, because maybe you die. Maybe it's too much for you. And yet that's all you have.
No. You will die.
Yes.
I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
But
in this certain situation, yeah.
But I think there's power to saying that you will die, because if you say you might die, I don't know. But if you say you will die, then I feel like that gives more motivation to do something.
I think that's circumstantial, because I think people who have addictions, I think reminding them starkly of that, the fact that they're going to die, it'll promote them into nihilism, and then they'll just say, okay, well, then nothing matters, which is obviously not true. Go ahead.
Or it could be like, well, it gives me more of a reason to be a drug addict because it makes it easier.
Well, maybe, but
I mean,
I don't
we're
that
talking
is
about
difficult.
Just addictions,
yeah. And I'm not coherent enough to,
yeah, well, no, I understand, but it's like for me, I think because. You know how like anti nihilist that I am. I know that we've talked about this off
air
before.
And it's interesting because I am,
yeah,
the exact opposite.
Well, see, here's my biggest, or I would say easiest argument against nihilism. Right? It's like, well, nothing matters. Okay, well, then shoot yourself. Okay. No, honestly, it's like, okay, well, then if nothing matters, then why do you do anything?
Well, I mean, there's
because
you know.
Okay, you can say nothing that I do is going to matter in a million years. Sure. Sure,
well, and this
nothing
is,
that I do is going to matter in 1,000 years. Sure, what about 100? What about 50? 10 year? What about next week?
Well,
this is why you not doing this thing right now, does that not matter in a week?
Well, this is what the talk we've had about what we value in life: experience,
yeah,
versus like responsibility or whatever. You're sure the argument is,
yeah. Well,
whatever.
No, responsibility is what,
yeah,
brings meaning to life.
Yeah. So yeah. and that's one of those fundamental things where it's just,
yeah,
you know.
Well, again, like I don't value experience just for experience sake, because I don't think doing anything for an arbitrary reason is relevant. Again, I choose to say that responsibility is the meaning of life, because, well, if I don't do that, then what was the point? You cannot attribute meaning if you do not have responsibility. Because you
with
can
great
say,
power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, that's how Uncle Ben said it.
Yeah. No, I'm like, talking about Mike.
Oh.
The paradox.
No, shut up.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Mike, I
need a cute t- I'm dizzy. Hey, so most of this episode's been dumb fuckery. How,
yeah,
was that? You know, those last couple minutes.
That was good. We should have got to that earlier.
Most of it didn't have anything to do with. Yeah,
we can edit out some stuff.
No, I'm gonna leave it all in.
Well, how long is this?
2 hours 8.
Oh, that's not bad. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good place to stop it for now. I mean, again, I am tired too, so I can't really articulate myself. I did want to talk about Peter Pan with this, but I guess we'll have to just save that for some other time. Because I was going to talk about Peter Pan's
quote. I don't like their peanut butter.
I was going to talk about Peter Pan's quote where he says, to die is an awfully big adventure, and how suicidal and stupid that is.
You know that makes a noise when you do that, right?
You did. You purposely did it gently that time.
Oh.
Okay.
Fuck you! I sent her the podcast link. She asked for it. So.
Oh, no.
I hope she listens to this
episode.
Tell
her to do the episode 3 one first. I think that's a good way to get into
What's episode 3?
Oh, sorry. Star Wars episode 3.
Oh.
Yeah. I keep referring to it as episode 3 because...
I hate you!
So, all right. Well, Again, I've said all I can say.
Blow-ups? Marvin the Martian blows up.
There was
the spaceship blows up.
But were there people in it?
Yeah, Marvin the Martian.
When he was okay.
What, Wile E. Coyote blows up.
Yes, he does.
What about does Daffy blow up at any point? Because a bunch of shit happens to him.
Yeah. Oh. You might have already said it, but
yeah, I don't give a fuck. 4 out of 5.
Yeah, Yosemite Sam and his crew blows up.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 then.
By the way, I think that there is a movie that should replace the Ready or Not scale. Because it has more explosions than Ready.
All right, boys and girls. If you... I can just fall asleep right now.
Don't do it.
If you're tired, tweet us at PacinoPod at Twitter.
Yeah.
.com.
This was a bad idea doing it this late.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well. We had to do it.
Almost... What time is it?
It's 11:20.
Jesus.
At night.
Blow-up said, no, Pacino podcast.
If you agree with Jake,
That's a good. Tell us
God
what you.
Damn, your hands are warm. What have you been?
They've been in my pants.
In your shorts.
Tell us what you value in life. Pacino podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah.
All right. Style.
Nah, freestyle time.
It's freestyle time, baby. All right, let's see. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can break this out.
Other guys' tongues are banned in some mouth. That's okay, because I brush my teeth since then. And other girls' tongues have been inside my mouth.
What the fuck are you singing?
$10 if you get that reference.
That
was a song.
That was the... Yeah, this is the weakest episode. All right, bye!
Stout and sauerkraut.
Oh, stout and sauerkraut. Forgot to say it. Stout and sauerkraut. Stout goodbye. And sauerkraut. Goodbye. And good night. Well, it's already a long episode, and a lot of it was just like bullshit. So.
Other guys.